Pray with me. Jesus, your name is all powerful. We gather in this room to do nothing else other than worship you. You are our God and our Savior, and we thank you. I pray that you be pleased with our worship, that it be from a pure heart, that you would cleanse us, that you would open our eyes, and as we open your word, draw us in. Make us hungry for more, and show us yourself. We want to worship you with our lives. Show us how to live. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're embarking on a journey through the book of John. After the last series, there were a lot of biblical gymnastics throughout the Bible. You're going to get to rest a little in one spot as we go through the book of John and take a look at some amazing life lessons. We're going to look at some stories that you've heard your whole life. You know them very well. But as you know, my lenses are a little skewed. We're going to look at some side of it that you may not have seen before. This morning, turn with me to John chapter 1. As I hope you can tell already, this service is all about Jesus today. And John chapter 1 is all about Jesus. This gospel is unique, as you know, from all the others, because John was a little skewed and warped, and he gives us more details on certain things, and some things are completely left out. This is the gospel where there is no Christmas story, but that's okay. We're going to pick up John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can neither extinguish it. I hope you realize there who John is telling us about is Jesus. And we often think of Jesus showing up in the New Testament Christmas story. But John is telling us that Jesus has been there from the beginning of time. Genesis 1. Jesus was there. The Word was already with God, and John is calling Jesus the Word. We're going to take a look today at why that is and why it's so important that Jesus is the Word. But John is telling us Jesus was on the scene from the very beginning, and through Jesus, God created everything. Now, turn with me to Revelations. Revelations chapter 19. We've established that Genesis 1:1, Jesus was there. Revelations chapter 19, verse 11 says, and this, by the way, is John writing again, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. a name was written on him that no one could understand except himself. He wore a robe dripping in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus was on the scene at Genesis 1:1, and he will be on the scene when we are redeemed and taken out of this cesspool and made clean. And the amazing thing is that Jesus has been there from beginning to end. From Genesis 1:1 through the end of Revelations, every scripture you read is about Jesus. It all points back to him. Now I want to read from 1 John 5:7. Listen to this. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There it is again. John keeps calling him the Word. The Greek word here is logos. It appears over 300 times through the scripture. And it is where we get our word logo. That's one you're very familiar with. In fact, to illustrate what this word means in Greek, we're going to take a look at what it means for us, and we're going to play a little game. Everybody up for a game? Okay. I'm going to show you a logo, and you're going to tell me what company it's from. John Deere. Anybody own a John Deere? Why, if you don't own one, do you know what it means? Because that's not something that you have in your life, but you're readily aware of what that is. Take a look at the second one. Anybody partake? Let me give you another one. These are companies who have established a logo that when you see it, you immediately know what company that is, and when you saw that logo, what they are about came to your mind. That's when there's a good logo. When you can see a picture, there are, what happened, was AT&T. That's just a circle, right? With some lines on it. There's nothing there that tells you what that is, but you know. Now, the quiz is getting a little harder. Take a look at this one. When's the last time you went in a Kmart? How long has it been out of business? But you still know what that means. Because it has made an impression on you. Maybe you shopped there. If you're old enough, you did. And you have memories of there. Somebody tell me the most... There you go. See? Anybody under 25 has absolutely no idea what you're talking about. But if you've ever been in a Kmart and you hear the blue light special, the logo creates for you what that company is about and means. We're getting a little harder. It's Amoco. For those who said American or Standard, you're close, but that's not the logo. That's the logo for Amoco. This one's near and dear to my heart because this was the gas stations that my grandfather owned. And that logo is hanging in my garage today because it means something to me. Last one. That is the original logo for McDonald's. Why didn't you know what that means? You weren't here. It hasn't been used. It's not something you see. It doesn't mean anything to us. The reason I put this one up here is because it is incredibly important for us to understand that people who do not know Jesus look at that as confused as you are about what logo it is. If you don't know Jesus, you don't understand the word. You can't begin to fathom what that's about when you hear the word. When you take a look at this Bible, and I've said it before, this is not for non-Christians. A non-Christian cannot read this and understand it. It is as foreign as it being in the original Greek to you and I, although I can make out a few words, but we can't understand it. And just like an old logo that means nothing to us, when you and I start talking about the Word and start talking about Scripture to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they go, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. The reason that John called Jesus the Word, it's this concept and logo. The Greek word being logos means it is the personification of what God said. It is God come to life. That's the most important thing for us to grasp. Everything that God said in here came to life in Jesus. And when it came to life in Jesus, it's a narrative that you and I can relate to. Look with me at John 1 at verse 6. John 1 verse 6. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Verse 10, he came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him. But to all who believe in him and accept him, he gives the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not physical birth, but the result, not physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but the birth that comes from God. And look at the verse 14. This is so incredibly important. So the Word, that's Jesus, remember, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Word, the personification of everything God said, came in to this world that he created for one purpose. For one purpose. Remember what I said, that a non-Christian cannot understand this most of the time. We, even even as believers now, couldn't wrap our head around God. So God came into the world He created so that you and I can relate to Him. That's His only purpose, so that you and I could see. Let me see if I can illustrate this to you. Wait a minute. Look at verse 14 again. So the Word became human and made His home among us. The Word became human and made His home among us. The Word, the one who was at the beginning of time, who will be there at the end, who was there in the middle of everything, who created you and gave you life, came into this world and made His home. I have managed to secure what may be a replica of His first throne when He got here and made His home among us. This was His first throne. Mary wished she had one. But it is incredibly important for you and I to understand this is where He started, so that you and I could relate to Him. Your God, who God created everything through Him, needed these when He got here. She might have used Huggies. I don't know. Scripture's a little vague. But Jesus, the Son of God, showed up on this earth needing that and some of these. He needed some deodorant. When He started to learn to be a carpenter, He needed these. The reason this is important is there is nothing you will ever encounter that Jesus does not understand. Verse 14, He came into... So the Word became human and made His home among us. Jesus can relate to every single problem you will ever have. Every hurt that you have in your heart, He understands it. He is the only God who created the earth and then showed up needing one of those. Because He loved you so much that He wanted you to understand He knows exactly where you are today. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're worried about, whatever you're concerned about, whatever fear you have, whatever worry or doubt, He had them. Because He's just like us. But He's God. That's a God who you can go to when you have nowhere else to go. And know that He is there and He understands. Look at verse 16. From His abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who Himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. We had no ability to understand God until Jesus showed us. I want to close with this. Do you know if you take a wild hare and decide that you want to climb Mount Everest? I don't know why you would want to do that, but maybe you decide you want to. Do you know that you cannot do that without a guide? You are not allowed up that mountain unless you have somebody who has been up it before. You can't just say, I climbed a hill out in Cedar Hill one time. I think I'll just climb Mount Everest. It is far above your skill level. You have to have a guide, somebody who has been up it many times before. And when you hire that guide, what your job pretty much at that point is, if you want to get to the peak, if you want to see the top of Mount Everest, is you step, where they tell you to step. You go when they tell you to go. You stop when they tell you to stop. And that guide is your every lifeline to get up that mountain. You can't go anywhere without them. That's what God did for us. He sent us a guide who lived this life, who understands and knows where you need to step, when you need to go, when you need to stop. And when you accept Him as your Savior, your job is one thing. Follow the guide. Follow the guide. Because the guide has done it successfully. What we're all striving for is to live a life pleasing to God. Jesus did that. Started right there. Ended up on the cross for your sins. Now your job and my job is to follow His footsteps. He's going to tell us exactly where to step, when to stop, when to go. And He can do it because what John said is, in verse 18, no one's ever seen God, but He was revealed to us through the Word. Why do we need the Word? Because it's our guide. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, our prayer is one of thanksgiving. Thanking You for showing up here, coming into this world that You created and making Your home, so that we can see who You are and know that we have a guide to get through this life and live a life pleasing to You. Father, my prayer is to take us from this room and let us be light in a dark world because of the Word. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.